Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're here because of you this morning to worship you, to honor you. And as we see on our tables, a cup of juice, some bread, and we come this morning to remember you, to honor you, to say thank you. So, Holy Spirit, as we look into the word that you wrote, awaken our hearts, speak to our minds as well, help us to understand more, deeper, as to all that you are doing in our lives. And Heavenly Father, cover this place. We rest under the shelter of your wings. Good place, a safe place for us to be. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. It's not business. It's personal. Have you heard the phrase? It's not personal. It's just business. Oh, communion this morning, I want to focus. It's not business, even though Jesus had business to do with his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension. But this morning, I want us to focus on, it's not just business, it's personal. We're a great church. We love being with you, and Jesus loves this church. And there's two ordinances that the church around the world has done for almost 2,000 years. One is baptism, which we're going to practice in a couple of weeks. And the other one is communion, the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, the Last Supper, whatever we want to call it. What's the point? What's the point of the Lord's Supper? We are remembering the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This last week on June 6th was D-Day, the 80th anniversary of the invasion of Normandy in France, where over 4,000 soldiers were killed as they tried to stop the war on Hitler in Germany. And that was the beginning of the end of the war, and we remember that. And the media is interesting, and all the many of the Western nations, including Prime Minister Trudeau, they travel over to France to celebrate this day. And the media is talking about how they're a little bit worried about how we'll forget, because more and more of the veterans that were alive at the time are slowly passing away. They're calling us to remember. Every November 11th, we remember the wars of the past, how bad and evil war actually is. The church has been doing communion, Lord's Supper, for almost 2,000 years, and Jesus asks us, he commands us to remember. Now, it's interesting that there's some different perspectives on what is actually the Lord's Supper. What happens to the juice or the wine or the bread? So one of those words, the Roman Catholics use transubstantiation. Can you say that with me? Transubstantiation. That's a hard word. Say it again. Transubstantiation. What it means is what they believe that is as the priest takes in their ceremony, in their church services as they gather, he takes the bread and the juice, and as he stands and lifts it up in a prayer, he lifts it up. They believe it literally becomes the body of Christ. Transubstantiation. The substance is transformed into the literal body of Christ. It's not that, and I know some people would go, well, then Christians are just cannibals. No, no, that's not what they're intending. They're saying we really want to partake of the body of Christ and the blood of Christ in your life. That's their belief. Martin Luther has more of a ubiquitous, can you say that? Ubiquitous term. And he talks more about it contained. So as the Lutherans practice communion, the Lord's Supper, as they, in their ceremony, lift it up or say pray over it, they believe that the word ubiquitous means everywhere. And it means that they understand. It's interesting how Martin Luther didn't want to stray too far away from the Catholic faith. I guess some of them back then and the Reformers just couldn't, but they tried a little bit and said that, well, the bread and the wine contains the body of Christ, because Christ is ubiquitous everywhere. So he's in this, like a sponge holds water, it's in there. Then the bread and the juice holds, contains the blood and the body of Christ. Now, we as, I don't like the word Protestant, but we're Protestant or we're evangelical. We're more into the symbolic understanding of the juice and the bread. But I want us to pause for a little bit. This idea of the body and the blood of Christ becoming, or the blood becoming the body, sorry, the bread and the juice becoming the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, they have a very high view of what they believe. Very high view, Lutherans as well. I'm going to raise this concern for us as evangelicals, as a Protestant church around the world. Sometimes what we've done is we've gone so far away from this high view, and we have what some might say a lower view, that we become a little too casual. Have we? As we look at the juice and the bread on our tables, have we become very casual in our approach to communion? Has it lost its bit of mystery? Has it lost its incredible importance? Has it lost what it does in our hearts, in our lives? I think sometimes, I think we can agree it has. And that's the fear of sometimes getting too casual. So I want to bring us back a little bit and say communion is one of the most important things, one of the most important acts, one of the most important practices that we can do as a church. Now, some churches, particularly some of the liturgical churches like the Roman Catholics and the Lutheran, the Anglican, some of them would probably practice communion every Sunday. I'm not suggesting that. But I realize as a pastor, I'm partially in charge of the calendar, that we actually haven't had communion since Good Friday. That's a little while away, and we need to be doing it a little more regular than that. Maybe that's part of that casualness. So I want us to pause. There's more to come here, but I want us to pause in prayer and just reflect. Say, what is my feeling, my emotion, my thoughts towards communion. And then I'm going to pray for us. So just take a moment, just close your eyes and think about your and my attitude, our feeling, our thoughts towards communion. Lord Jesus Christ, I must confess to you as a pastor that at times my attitude and feelings and practice towards communion has been too casual. Forgive me for that. And then, Jesus, as a church, we confess to you that our attitude and our heart, thoughts and feelings towards communion, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, has been too casual. Forgive us. Forgive us for sometimes taking your death way too casually. And change our hearts. Change our thoughts. Bring us closer to you. We pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Why does it matter? Rituals can be lifeless. Habits can be boring. Traditions can be tedious. But what we practice is about a real and living relationship. And for us, as we practice communion, as we participate in communion, it's a symbol. It's an illustration of what Jesus has done that causes us to remember. Go with me to Luke chapter 22. Let's walk through this. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. When the time came, he had been setting up the room where they were going to celebrate the Passover lamb. They were going to do the Passover meal. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. I've been very eager. I've been looking forward to having this meal together with you. Very eager. For I now tell you, now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I will not drink this wine until the kingdom of God has come. And he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice. Now, Jesus is foreshadowing. He's looking ahead. They're not getting it. Even after Jesus died, they weren't getting the resurrection. They weren't getting that whole thing. He's trying to show them ahead of time. So I'm very eager, as he is with us this morning. He says, take it and share this cup among yourself. And then take the bread and do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance. Remembering? What are you talking about, Jesus? What are you saying? The disciples around the table are thinking. What do you mean? Because they weren't getting it. He had told them many times, I'm going to die. But it wasn't computing. It wasn't registering. Do this in remembrance of me. He's giving them something to think about. He's giving them something to remember. And telling them that after my death, you're going to continue to do this. Very important lesson. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 23. Now the Apostle Paul is writing and he says, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself on the night when he was betrayed. Now, I want you to think about that phrase. When it says on the night when he was betrayed. You can take a butterfly and catch it, maybe. You could even do what some of the scientists do, and you can then stick a needle through it and look at it and study its wings, its colors. And some scientists with butterflies or birds or different things, they pull it apart to examine it. But in the midst of pulling it apart, they miss the beauty of the butterfly. They miss the beauty of the bird. They miss the beauty of a fish and its colorful scales. They miss the beauty of it. And I sometimes wonder, in all of the schools of theology and history, that we've taken communion and analyzed it so to death, so to speak, that we've missed the beauty of it, that we've missed the simplicity of it. And so I've often wondered, what is the Apostle Paul, why does he say, we have to remember, every word of Scripture is written by the Holy Spirit. Every word means something. There's no mistakes. So why did the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, write, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread? Now, think about it. If he had not said that, if he had just said, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. Then he gave thanks for it and he broke it into pieces. Do this in remembrance of me. Can you see how it would become a ritual? It would be, well, as Christians, as good Christians, we must do this. And that's sometimes what's happening in Christianity is we've taken these things and we just have to do them and we miss it. And what he's doing, follow with me, on the night when he was betrayed, he's taking a very historical act. He's not taking communion and putting it up, so to speak, up here as something to be ritualized. He's taken us back to history, to a very human Jesus who's there with his disciples. And he's saying right then and there, he just took common bread. He took common wine. He said, celebrate and remember with me. Remember the simplicity of what I'm doing here. Just remember my life and my death and my resurrection to come. And my ascension. Jesus took some bread, gave thanks, and then broke it into pieces and said, "This is my body. Do this in remembrance of me." The Apostle Paul, it appears, had a very personal, as an apostle, had a very personal, I would almost think, face-to-face conversation with Jesus. And I think what Jesus is trying to communicate to Paul, as the great apostle over all the churches at that time, writing most of the New Testament, is saying, please don't let them miss the point of communion table, of the Lord's Supper. Let's not make it too big a deal. Let's not get into transubstantiation, in all due respect to the Roman Catholics. Let's not get into the ubiquitous in respect to the Lutherans. Let's not go there. Let's look at what communion actually is. What is it? I love this. The three Gospels told us about the practice, and Jesus is putting the stamp on it through Paul. Don't forget. It's an invitation to the table. It's an invitation to the table. Jesus is at this table, these tables, with us. It's not what's at the table. It's not what's at the table, it's who is at the table. My wife's birthday is coming up, so I'm going to make reservations at our favorite restaurant that she loves for her birthday, the Olive Garden. And I'm going to make reservations. Will it matter to me who's with me at the table? No, it won't, actually, because I really love the salad and the breadsticks. You didn't hear what she said. It better, right? Yeah, it's going to matter who's with me at the table. Who's at the table? Jesus. Because he rose and he ascended, remember we talked about that? And we may not understand how it works, but his presence is with us around these tables. The reservation has been made, and Jesus is eagerly looking forward to having communion with you this morning and to you online. He's looking forward to having it with you. The reservation has been made. He's at the table and he's made the reservation for you and me, for us. One more thing about this, I thought. And I read in the theology textbook earlier in the week, and I had never thought about this. But the Lord's table is also about nourishment. I was just reading in Ezekiel. Ezekiel was in prison, and what did they give him? Bread and water. At least he got bread. What is bread? It's the basic, most basic form of sustenance. Of something to eat, something to help you make it through the day. And Jesus uses the most basic bread. I know if you're non-carb, don't worry about it. But bread is one of the most basic foods that we can eat. And at that time, wine was the common drink. It was just what it was. It wasn't necessarily for drunkenness, although some did, but it was a normal drink, some water you couldn't drink, or you couldn't get from a well, or away from a well. So wine was a very common drink back then. We used grape juice, or cranberry juice, but it's juice. But in that is a nourishment. And I really believe that what Jesus is also trying to do during this time is he's trying to nourish our souls. And when we come to him around the table, our faith is being strengthened. Our relationship with Jesus is being strengthened. So the invitation for us is to come to the table to remember, to pause out of the life of the week. And the week to come, we pause and then we partake. So before we do, I'm going to ask Brett to play the song that I've played a few times here, Broken and Beautiful by Brian Jobson. Just listen or close your eyes and listen, whatever it is, and then we'll share communion together.
Lord, we remember.
Going back to Luke chapter 22. Verse 17, he says, then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves. Now in this passage, they take some wine, then they take some bread, and then they take some wine again. Huh. Take this and share it among yourselves. So walk with me a little bit. Take a cup. I want you to just take a sip. Just a sip. Tasting it a little bit. Look at everyone around your table. Look at everyone around your table. We're in this together. Like Jesus did around the table. Take it together. They would have probably shared one cup. We're not going to do that. But they would have shared one cup and spread it around. But they did it together. Around your tables are your brothers and sisters in Jesus. Then he took some bread and he gave thanks. So put the cup down. And take a piece of bread. However big or small you like. It doesn't matter. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your body. It was broken. We do this in remembrance of you. Eat together. As you eat the bread, it's nourishment. Not to be controversial at all, but I sometimes wonder what the Roman Catholics were thinking when they thought about when you take the bread, how that encourages, how it can strengthen, how it can help us press on. That's what we do when we take the bread. And then we take the cup. The symbol of his blood that was shed, that was poured, that ran down the cross. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood, life, blood. You gave your life and died. We give you thanks. Let's drink together. Whenever you eat and drink, remember me. We're doing that this morning. We're following Jesus. Why? Because we love him. Amen? Amen. Amen.